Welcome to Bear His Cross, a Christian podcast that strives to help you develop and build your daily walk with Christ through biblical lessons and teachings. Join me and special guests as we travel the biblical road together, learn more about God's Word, and enhance our relationship with Jesus Christ. All right, so for those of you who are just joining us, we're glad you're here. We hope you finished up our lesson on the book of Jonah and the study of Jonah. We did a 6-part series on Jonah. And so now, Thurston gave you a little teaser from the last podcast, if you were listening, and we're going to be studying the prodigal son, but you said you wanted to turn where first?
Well, let's just go to Luke 15, okay. Verse 11. We'll start there.
All right, Luke 15, verse 11 says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance and with riotous living." I'm going to stop. What do you think the riotous living that he was doing was?
Well, it doesn't say, but you know, it just means ungodly. He's living ungodly.
Living like a heathen.
Would
this be a Bourbon Street, New Orleans type living we might think, or a, you know, Las Vegas or New York, downtown New York City type living?
Well, you know, some translations, I was reading a translation of this this morning, and I don't, you know, I've got like 10 translations. So mm-hmm. I was reading one, and it said he wasted his substance with prostitutes.
And that's what I think riotous living is. It's going to be den of sin. How about we call it that? Den of sin. All right, 14th verse says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want."
Now, okay.
That's you take right. over, because yeah. I've got a question I want to ask you, but you...
No, go ahead, then we're going to turn.
When we were, as most of you know who listen, we eat before we do this. Right. That's just what we do. Right. We're good Southern people who like to eat. And as we're sitting there having a meal, we're having a discussion about how things happen in our life that's predestined or planned by God for a purpose. So I know this is a parable Jesus is teaching here about the prodigal son. But if we look at this in the context of things we deal with in life, we know that sometimes things like a great famine is taking place because of the plan God has for us. So that great famine would have been planned is what I'm getting at. Now, you give me your take on that.
Well, so you're asking me why he began to be in want. Is
yep.
that what you're asking me?
Yep.
Okay. So here is, in this parable, God's the Father, mm-hmm. and the two sons are me and you, or mm-hmm. two believers, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And one of the youngest believers says, "Father, I'm not satisfied."
Yep. Okay.
Especially what he said, I can do better.
I can do better than what you're giving me.
I'm doing better. So he said, "I want my inheritance. I don't want to wait. I want it now, and I'm going to take off." So he took off. The Bible said he went to a far country. In other words, he went into a country he wasn't accustomed to living in.
Okay. Right? Right.
"And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine. And he began to be in want." Okay. So your question is, why did he begin to be in want?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 2.
All right. So Romans 2.
And I want us to spend 2 or 3 minutes on this, because this is really going to be good. Romans chapter 2. Read verse 8.
Okay. Romans 2, 8 says, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doth evil of the Jew first and also of the Gentile."
Okay. So these two verses says, you know, not trying to beat nobody up, but, you know, if you and Sheena's going down the road in a car and there's a bridge out, and I knew it was out, and if I got in the middle of the road and waved and stopped you, I wouldn't be your enemy, would I?
No, you'd be a friend.
I'd be a friend.
You're helping us out.
Because I was telling you that danger that danger is ahead. Okay. In verse 8, the Bible said, but unto them, here's what Paul writes, but unto them that are contentious, and I think that word means self-seeking. I'm pretty sure it does. I looked it up. I've looked up a bunch of words. I think it meant self-seeking. In other words, they're doing their own thing, right?
That's right.
Now listen to what God says. Unto them that are contentious, do not obey the truth. Do not obey what is right or what's the truth. Remember, Jesus said, my word is truth. But obey unrighteousness. Do you see that?
I do.
Okay. But them that do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. In other words, they do that which is not right with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to tell you the next four things that happens when you obey unrighteousness. This verse would help anybody in the world. Anybody. Listen to what it says. They do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. He says, indignation. Which is, indignation means wrath or anger or rage. Obey unrighteousness. The first word that follows that is indignation, and it means anger, rage, or wrath.
So you're saying that if they obey unrighteousness, unclean living, they're not following the rule of God.
Right.
The command of God.
Right.
First thing they can expect is...
rage, anger, wrath.
Rage and anger.
Rage and anger. Okay. The next word here is wrath. And that's hostility.
Mm-hmm. Whether it be towards them or towards others.
Or God.
Or towards God.
You're hostile.
Have you ever met someone or encountered somebody who said, I'm angry at God? Have you ever met somebody who's told you that?
Many people. And I can show you that in the Bible where people got where they got angry with God. And, you know, when Israel sinned and wouldn't go into the promised land, God told Moses, basically, it was me they're rejecting, mm-hmm. Moses.
Yep.
You know.
They were angry.
Well, when David sinned, David said, against you and you only have I sinned.
Yep.
So David knew the really principal partner that you're committing that sin again is God.
It's God, yep.
Okay. So you think about what we're saying. Those that obey unrighteousness, we've got anger, wrath, and hostility. Tribulation there means trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And anguish means hardships.
Mm-hmm.
This is saying, these two verses right here says, if you obey unrighteousness and you do something that you know it's not right. It's going to bring trouble. It's going to bring hardships. It's going to bring rage, anger, wrath, and hostility.
Not the kind of life that you would want to live.
Nobody wants that.
Not your best day.
Well, okay, now listen to me, David. Satan is a deceiver. The Word of God over and over and over and over and over calls Satan a deceiver.
Father of lies.
Yeah. And, you know, it calls him a liar, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lie is deceit.
Yep.
You know, that's why a lie is deceit. Okay. So, Satan, Jesus called him the father of lies, but in Revelation it said like three times, the deceiver of the whole earth. He's the deceiver.
Do you think there's some correlation there to him being called the deceiver of the whole earth and the fact that sin from Adam was the fall?
Right.
Does that have some correlation do they work together there is what I'm saying, because through Adam's sin came sin into the world.
The whole
through
earth.
Mankind.
Yeah.
So if he's the father of lies and that father of sin for mankind, that's where the mankind came into play. Yeah. Am I making a good reference there to the two?
Yeah, okay.
I may not be on point there, but that's just something I want to think about, because when we study the Bible, we know that things work together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when those things work together, the Bible itself works together also.
We just read right here that to obey unrighteousness. Now you think about what I'm going to say. Just think about what I'm fixing to say.
Okay.
Brings wrath, anger, rage, hostility, trouble, and hardships. Well, for Satan to get people to sin, he has to deceive them. If he told you, David, now, if you rob this bank, if Satan told you this, if you rob this bank, you're going to have hardships, trouble, hostility, anger, and rage.
You would say no.
You know, I don't want it.
I don't want that.
I don't want it. If it's going to bring me anger and rage and hostilities and trouble and hardships, I don't want it.
Why would you purposefully bring that upon yourself?
Well, for him to get people to sin, and that's all of us, he has to be deceitful and say, man, you're going to enjoy this. Look what you're getting.
If you rob this bank, you'll have all the money to buy a bass boat with.
He has to. But God is saying in these two verses that sin brings, okay, let me just close this up. Sin brings heartaches and trouble and anger and rage. And I just want to say this, nothing about politics.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we had the Summer of Love?
In the 70s, right? Like
67? No.
You're talking about recently.
Yeah.
Out in Seattle.
Yeah.
The spaghetti dinner, whatever.
Burning,
yeah. Okay.
All the
Chaz and Chop and all that, whatever. Yeah.
So they had all this, just people cursing. People were so angry. They were cursing, writing cuss words on buildings, breaking, shooting policemen, throwing rocks at policemen, running over policemen with cars,
burning buildings.
Now listen to what I'm, just think about really what I'm fixing to say to you. Are you ready? That was wrath, anger, rage, hostility, trouble, and hardship.
Hey, listen to us, people of that area of Seattle. That's what sin brings you. Again, not trying to be political about this, but you can't scratch, you know, it would be ignorant. I'll use that word. It would be ignorant for those people to say, well, I wonder why this happened.
Yeah.
You know, we had this summer of love, right. And now we've got wrath and anger and buildings burned down and people are dead and there's trash everywhere. I wonder what caused that. You know, it's to the believer, God's word rings true.
Right.
And so the parable in the prodigal son that Jesus is teaching us is almost like, here's a wake-up call. I'm telling you this parable because if you take the route of the prodigal son, this is what's going to come your way, which relates to what Paul wrote in this second chapter
of Romans,
that Paul is saying, hey, look, Jesus taught you about this, but I'm going to add this to this here for you Romans to understand. Yeah. You follow unrighteousness, which is falling out of the will of God. Here's what you can expect.
And, you know, you think about, I'm going to tell you something. You got to really think about this.
Okay. Now. For those of you listening, be ready. You got to have your thinking caps on. Yeah. Thurston has given you the challenge to put your thinking cap on.
If Jesus told the story of the prodigal son that went to a far country and did his own thing, and then it turned out successful where he was happy and blessed and content forevermore, the Bible would be wrong.
Yeah, and in that fact, God cannot lie.
See, he can't lie.
And so
sin always has to bring hardship and trouble and anger. It always has to.
Sin never brings success.
Right.
Now, the world will tell you,
right.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
If you're that CEO and you cheat that employee,
yeah,
that'll make you successful. That's not true.
That's
deceit. That's a lie.
That's a lie. Deceit. Yeah.
And what happens when people lie in the end? It's like a ripple on a pond. You've dealt with this. I've dealt with this. Everybody has. When somebody lies, whether it's a big lie or a little lie, it's like a ripple on a pond. They throw that rock and it gets bigger. It gets bigger. And it gets bigger. And it gets bigger. And so even if you're that CEO of a Fortune 500 company right now and you think, well, I can hurt that employee, that's sin, and I'm going to be successful from it. Mm-hmm. No. Because, and at the end, you may think sin being a season, oh, yeah, I'm winning. At the end, though, what's going to come their way? Indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish. And I think it's important how Paul wrote this, upon every soul of man. That tells me that nobody escapes that, right?
That's right.
So if you follow and obey. Now, let's break down the word obey for just a second. Obey, funny sounding word. What does the word obey mean to you?
To me? Well, if you obey, you follow instructions.
You're taking the direct order of whoever's commanding you.
Right.
So obeying unrighteousness means you're taking the direct order. You're following the command. You're following through. Not just being told, but you're doing it of unrighteousness. So what is unrighteousness?
Well, the word righteousness has two meanings. It means right standing with God, but righteousness also means obeying God's moral law.
Right. Which comes from where?
God. But unrighteousness would be not obeying God's law.
So let's take one of those, for example, theft, stealing. Thou shalt not steal. Yeah. If you steal, what's going to be the consequence?
Well, it's going to be sorrow, pain, anger, hardship,
right there,
trouble. Are you going?
So all of you people out there looting those stores, you're probably not listening to us, but if you are, listen up. We're giving you the warning. If you were out there stealing stuff, you better go make it right. Because the only thing that's going to follow you in life from stealing that stuff is what? Indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish. You may think you're the prodigal son and you're like, hey, Dad, I'm taking my inheritance and I'm going to make a better life for me. You know, I laugh sometimes. There's, you know, memes or those things people post out on the internet and all that stuff. And there was one I was laughing about the other day where it's like living my best life. Well, hopefully we are living our best life in Christ, but if you're out there living in the world and you think you're living your best life, you're deceiving yourself and you're walking towards indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish. The prodigal son was living his best life. That's what he was trying to do. Give me my money. Let me go live in debauchery, find these loose women and wild drugs and everything else, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? Summer of Love in Seattle.
So basically, the mayor of it, Seattle basically said the same thing the prodigal son said.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it my way, Dad.
I'm gonna do it my way.
And I'm gonna have love and I'm gonna have fun and love but it didn't turn out that way.
And you know what they've noticed is crime has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And in these cities where they're like defund the police, I know is a big thing where they've crime has skyrocketed. We don't want direction. We don't want command. We don't want righteousness. We want unrighteousness. We're going to obey our own will. And what do we see from when that happens? People's lives get destroyed and things go crazy.
When you think about something, David, just say this real quick. By the Bible, love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. So this lady was saying, we're going to get love by doing our own thing. And doing your own thing brings not love, but hardships, trouble, anger, and hostility.
And at the end of the day, when people think they're doing what's best for them, what do they learn they're actually doing? They're actually destroying themselves in the process. And I think that's what we're going to get into as we continue on the second part of Luke 15, when we get into the prodigal son. Now, we're just giving you the introduction. So this is the very first part of the prodigal son. I want to remind all of you who are listening that if you listen to Thurston and not me, you're going to learn something. Because he's going to give you the good, deep stuff. I'm here for comedic relief. I think that's... I'm here. We do really appreciate everyone who listens. We thank you for taking the time. I do want to remind you just real quick to go to bearhiscross.com where you can subscribe to our email newsletter. Stay up to date with all of our podcasts. You can also find us on iTunes and Spotify and everywhere where podcasts are provided. Now look, folks, this podcast is just for your spiritual growth, and it's important that you open your Bible every day. You study God's Word, but we want to challenge you to study along with us. And so, Thurston, as we end this part one, and before we get into part two, give us a preview. What's going to be your focus on part two of the Prodigal Son podcast?
It's going to be wonderful about how God responds when somebody repents.
So if you need to repent and you're holding it off, if you're putting it off because you're waiting to see how God's going to respond to you, we may can open a little window and give you some sunlight into that. Folks, we'll see you next time here on Bear His Cross Podcast. Thank you for listening to Bear His Cross. You can find more information at bearhiscross.com. Also, we want to invite you to go to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast provider and leave us a rating so other people know about this podcast.